Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. It's the week of the draft. We got three sleeps, a wake up, and it's here. I cannot wait. And we're going to be live. So if this is your first time joining us for the draft, we do this every single year. Most times we're hosting a draft event or a draft party. This year had to keep it kind of low key, stay at home. And going to be broadcasting live days one, day two, day three, nonstop 49ers coverage throughout the entirety of the draft. We have that up on our YouTube channel now. So if you, however you watch and or listen to this show, I just want to say thank you. But if you want to join us live, YouTube is the place to go. You just type in 49ers Rush. We will pull up. You can type in John Chapman or whatever. That'll help as well. But anyway, that video is up. So you can go click on that, turn on notifications. We'll be going live 15 minutes before the draft start time, which I think the draft starts at 5 o'clock Pacific time, California time. We will be going live 4:45 PM. That's what that will look like. So join us for that, man. It's going to be fun. We're going to have people jumping in and out. Different content creators, won't just be me. But yeah, we'll be live days one, two, and three. Day one is up, posted on there on our YouTube channel. And right here, I'm trying to talk this guy into jumping in and out for our channel and live draft coverage. I know he's super busy, but the great and honorable Rob Lauder, which we'll be doing a show together tomorrow evening, so stay tuned for that. We do our annual, I know, much acclaimed. I mean, we've been nominated for awards for this one. There's no nomination. where we do our mock draft just based off of top 30 visits only. I think we've done this a couple years in a row now. I think this is year three or four. So we will be doing that tomorrow evening. And it's interesting because I think back-to-back years, we've gotten at least one right, which we kind of pigeonhole ourselves into who the 49ers have met with. But a lot of those 30 visits have been announced. I think we're up to 22 that have been made public. That's going to be tomorrow. Striking Gold Podcast. Make sure you go check that out. But yeah, so today's episode, this is episode 1635 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Thank you to our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers George 365, and Corey Robbins. Salute, hat tip, all those fun things. You guys are the best. Thank you for allowing this to happen. This is a supporter-created show today. Shout out to Doug, CA2DC, and Yatsik. They've been hounding me on this for about a month straight. And here was their question, right? Is there a way you could go through all 22 starters, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, rate the starters? And I kind of took it a step further because I'm that guy. Rate them 1 to 10. What are the biggest weaknesses on the roster? And what would be the biggest upgrade if that position was addressed, you know, in the draft? Probably first round, but like for center, it doesn't really work that way. So what I did, and I've spent yesterday afternoon and this morning, is just diving through the roster and going position by position, labeling out the depth chart. I use David Lombardi's spreadsheet. He's the spreadsheet king. He dominated that. So I use that as a resource. Shout out to him. And just rated each position 1 through 10. On what they have available. So that's the first part of this exercise, right? The title is 49ers Need-Based Draft Approach, which is the way in which they draft. And you know, there's this new widget on StreamYard. I don't know if this is my first time ever using it, but here's a poll. Which draft do you prefer for the 49ers? BPA, Best Player Available, or Need-Based? The 49ers are a need-based team. That's not the question I am asking. The question I am asking is, which do you prefer? So y'all let me know if that comes through on there the first time using it. And so it would be cool if this does work because we could do a lot of this draft day, days 1, 2, and 3, 3 days in a row. You're going to get all the Chapman that you've ever wanted. But again, 49er specific coverage, centric coverage, all 3 days of the draft. It's going to be fun. So We're diving through the entire 49ers roster, doing just a quick analysis, which is very important. Probably not going to be my most viewed show of the week or whatever else, but I think it's important because this is the approach that the 49ers take when they draft, period. This is the approach that the 49ers take when they draft, period. Need-based drafting, not best player available. And we could argue till we're blue in the face or red in the face in my case, that they should do BPA, but it will do us no good. It will do us no good. And why is that, Kyle Shanahan? Why will that do us no good?
Oh, I understand. I don't think you understand.
Because he understands. He doesn't think that we understand. I love me some Kyle Shanahan and the little quirky whatever. Want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Draft week, we lit. Let's go. It's exciting times right now, guys. There is no doubt about it. Even if you get draft picks you don't like, great things are ahead. The 49ers are going to improve. They're going to get it six if they trade up. Fewer, but still, six new 49ers that we get to cheer for. And I remember the drafts where you don't have first-round picks. Those drafts suck. So, like, even if you get a first-round pick you didn't like, you still get a first-round pick, and that's where that is. Aaron says, what's your best case and worst case scenario for the first pick? Best case is wide receiver or edge. Worst case, probably drafting an offensive tackle that couldn't play guard. That is my worst case. I am operating under the assumption that Trent Williams is coming back to play football for at least one more year. I am also operating under the assumption, and as we go through this, you know, spoiler alert, left guard gets a pretty low number. If you spend the first round pick on an offensive tackle, which I'm not against, I don't think the Niners will do it though. They have to play left guard. They have to, year one. And so that's, now you're kind of getting into some squirrely territory. I think you go wide receiver or edge first round. That would be my best case scenario. Even if it was a player I didn't really like, I'm not the biggest KC Concepcion guy, but if they took him, man, that makes perfect sense. It's a scheme fit. The upside, the ceiling is there. Not my guy, but I'd be cool with that. You go edge, you go Keldrick Falk. You go really any, there's so many quality edges. Mekhi Lawrence, who I think is a little bit of a reach, but like I'd be totally cool with that. You go edge or wide receiver, I'm going to be very, very happy regardless of who the player is. But if you get a tackle that cannot play guard and kick inside, that's my worst case scenario. What's up, Tommy? Enjoyed the new track, man. Tommy put the track. Tommy, can you put the name of the song? If you guys don't know Tommy Huxley, he is as gifted a guitar player as I have met in my lifetime. I grew up in Texas, mind you. Shout out Stevie Ray. But anyway, Tommy, can you throw in the chat your Spotify new track? It's freaking incredible. I want everybody to go check it out, but I don't have it on me. My phone's silent. So, yeah, anyway, you let me know. Right here, Doc, he says, John, what do you think about Jake Slaughter? I like Jake Slaughter. Can we get him in the fourth? Probably not. I think Jake Slaughter probably goes back into the second, early third. I would not spend a second round pick on him. I have a third round grade on him. I do like Jake Slaughter. We're going to talk about him a little bit. That's what's up. Gardening in chat. What's up? Get it done, Captain. You the man. Best player available. We're getting those. Yeah, like, comment, subscribe. I think he said comment, but I like comic too. I love it. I talked about this last week with Robbo. What's up? You nice? You the man. Rombo, freaking stud. Been doing it longer than anybody. What a great dude. What a great dude. Let's see here. When can you get a decent safety for $6 million in free agency? Don't draft a round one or round two safety. Yeah, there's positions that just the NFL does not value, and safety is one of them. Tight end is one of them. Off-ball linebacker is one of them. They just do not get paid. Tight end, safety, you throw running back in there, but that's what it is. Be best player available at a position of need. Ooh, look at that. He's going for the Venn diagram approach. I like it. I like it. So let's see. I got that poll up there, everybody. I'm just going to leave that up there. I won't show the results. I can't see the results. I think I have to stop the poll, but I'm going to leave it up there for a little bit. Right here, Khalil says, John, I don't see what Denzel Boston reminds me of Juwan Jennings with a little more agility. The one difference I would say is you have to watch Denzel Boston win vertically. That is the part of Juwan Jennings' game that has never been present, not in college, not in the NFL. At no point is Juwan Jennings, a guy that wins vertically. Maybe that one Rams game, that was about it. Denzel Boston's one of the best downfield receivers in this draft class, and it's not even close. 17 yards per catch, stacks vertically well, amazing catch radius. I would argue he is faster than Juwan Jennings, but he didn't run his 40, so we don't get to prove that, so that's a matter of debate. But just the route tree is so much better. The hands are so much better. The blocking's on par. He is as good. He's the best blocking guy in this draft. Him and Jeremy Bernard, probably number one, number two. The tape, the athletic profile would agree with you. The tape disagrees with that assessment, and that's okay. Like, I'm not trying to convince you. I like Denzel Boston a lot because he wins at all three levels consistently, and he's playing against some top corners and can beat them vertically. Now, a lot of people talk about the D'Angelo Pons game. He did not beat D'Angelo Pons deep. He didn't. Pons shut him down. But that happened once. And yeah, Pons is a stud, but Pons isn't even prototypical cornerback by any stretch. But that's okay. I was talking to Larry about that. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Financial stress affects far more than our bank accounts. It can take a serious toll on our mental health and relationships. With 88% of Americans feeling some form of financial stress at the start of 2026, money worries often bring anxiety, sleep disruption, even depression. And now one of the leading sources of conflicts for couples. This month, we want to normalize the emotional weight and financial stress and remind people that struggling with money doesn't mean they failed. Sometimes it's just about accessing the right kind of support. And listen, therapy isn't about financial advice. It's about managing stress, shame, or anxiety that come with it. And therapy can help people unpack their relationship with money, building healthier coping strategies, and feel less alone in the process. BetterHelp does all the initial matchmaking work for you, so you can just focus on your therapy goals. Short questionnaire helps you identify the needs and preferences. And with 12 plus years experience, an industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. And if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recommendations. So when life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Oh, here we go. We got the song track. Everybody, I need y'all to do me a favor right now. My man, Tommy Huxley, he is the freaking legend. Copy and paste this link into Spotify or open your web browser, whatever. Go subscribe, follow. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. Duke and Jam. I'm going to leave that up there for a second, but go check that out. But I was talking to Larry about this before the show we did yesterday, and I told him, like, dude, everybody knows who they like now. Early on draft coverage, it's us informing and convincing people these are good players. Check out for this. This is a fit. I think you might like this. I think this works. Now here we are draft week. You know who you like. And so that's why I'm trying to take a step back instead of, hey, check this guy, check this guy, check this guy. We'll do some of that. But y'all know who you like. If you're watching this show on a Sunday morning, the week of the draft, you know who you like and who you don't. My job isn't necessarily to convince you you're right or wrong. My job is to try to create healthy debate and understand from a 49ers perspective why or why not. That's the whole goal. And so the that now my job isn't about, like, you know, shining perspective on certain players, which, you know, we did the full draft book. That's up on the 49ersrush.com. Just go to 49ers player breakdowns. You'll see it all right there, or on our Patreon channel. Links in the description of the show. Like, that's there. It is. So if you're one of the people that's like, I don't know who I like, man, you can filter 49ers fit 10. We grade every single player, 200 plus players. I don't know the exact number. We graded 1 through 10. Do they fit the 49ers? And experience, scheme fit, athletic profile, you know, all injury history, all that stuff. If you just want to know the guys that fit, man, I think we had 13-10 grades. 13 players out of the 200 had a 10 out of 10 49ers fit scale. Last year, the 49ers drafted 4 players that had a 10 out of 10 scale. Alfred Collins, Mikael Williams, CJ West, and Marquis Siegel. We got 4 of them. So like that's going to be there again. Trust me, they're going to get some of those guys. 1 year, we're going to lay a goose egg. It just hasn't happened yet. It still hasn't happened. Right. Alec, right here. Would you swap the Steelers first round pick and 99th overall? Yeah, I'd give up Mac Jones for their second round pick. I don't think Mac Jones pulls a first rounder. Yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat. I would. The Steelers also have, where's their second round pick? It's right around 50, 53. I would trade Mac Jones for 53 overall. I would, personally, but I don't think Kyle Shanahan would. Yeah, his first round overall, good gosh. Yeah, that's easy. But first and 99th, yeah, every team, yeah. I don't think that would happen. But that's okay. Oh, right here. Captain said Tommy was shredding yesterday on Instagram. That's what I'm talking about, man. All right. We got to get into my notes. Otherwise, I'm never going to finish this. But let's see here. Let's see if I can end the, I'm going to stop the poll. Does it show it? Don't see the votes. How do I, anyway, it's not showing. Yeah. I guess they got to fix this a little bit. I stopped it. Yep. It's not showing the actual results. So I guess they got to work on this some more. It's what it is. Yeah, it's just not coming up. Anyway, maybe it's not working on y'all's end or my end. Whatever. StreamYard with the L. We are rating every single starter. 22 starters, 1 through 10. We're going to start at quarterback. We're going to do the offense. Then we're going to go through to the defense. Then we'll retroactively look at the lowest grades. And if we plug in positions in the first round that could fit those holes, what would that number increase be? Where would be the greatest increase? That's the idea here. An analytical approach to need-based drafting based off the analysis of the current 49ers roster. There we go. I think I laid that out correctly. And again, shout out to Doug and Yacek for giving me this idea. Quarterback. I got the quarterback with the highest grade of the entire roster. I got a 10. Brock Purdy is locked up for a long time. His play continues to ascend. I think you have the best backup quarterback in the NFL in Mac Jones. You have your long-term eventual backup replacement, Curtis Rourke. He's locked up for 4 more years because last year did not accrue. So you are allowed to use the whatever. This is what the 49ers do all the time with the reserve free agents and all that stuff where, you know, he's a restricted free agent, not reserve. And so you still have Curtis Rourke for 4 years. So he'll do all that, you know, round tender, all that stuff. And so if you guys disagree with these grades, that's totally cool. You should disagree with me. That would make you intelligent. But the idea is, man, you give your grade, right? So as you are listening and you want to throw in the chat something different, put in there, you know, quarterback, what grade? 1 through 10. How do you grade the quarterback position? I have a 10 because you've got a, at minimum, top 10 starter locked up long-term, best backup quarterback in the league, and on top of that, you got Curtis Rourke just sitting there in the wings. So you guys go along with me. Where do you give the quarterback grade 1 through 10? I just, man, Brock, like, you know, I was at that Seattle playoff game, which was the worst lopsided playoff win in the history of the NFL. Brock Purdy was playing very, very well for a very long. He was by himself out there. Dude was by himself playing well. I just have the utmost confidence. Can he stay healthy? Can he protect himself better? Those are some questions that I have. Running back. What grade would you give the running backs? I gave them a 7. Christian McCaffrey, freaking 2,000 plus yards last year. But he's getting old. He's 30 years old, which doesn't happen to running backs in the NFL. Him and Derrick Henry are kind of doing all the work. They're defying all the odds. His speed is definitely disappearing. You can show me all the workout videos in the world. I love how he takes care of his body and works so freaking hard. That's awesome. But like, speed is a concern. Lack of burst is a concern. Workload. That dude couldn't handle the workload he had when he was 23 the following year. Couldn't handle it when he was 27 the following year. Can he handle it when he's 30 the following year? That's rough. So I gave the running back spot a 7. I'm thankful Christian McCaffrey's on this team. I am super pumped about Jordan James. I traded for him in my dynasty league. I'm telling you right now, Jordan James is going to be a factor. We have a very small sample size, but when nothing on offense was working but Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey got hurt, and then, you know, they throw in Jordan James, that dude averaged 7 yards per carry against a team that was stacking the box. Yeah, I'm completely out on Garrando. I don't even think he makes the initial 53. He'll be, you know, out there. I don't know. But I gave it 7 because you have to have more guys. I think it's Christian McCaffrey, Jordan James, and nothing behind them. Patrick Taylor Jr. I'd put ahead of Garrando. He's more reliable, consistent. And I put Kyle Juszczyk in the flex category. We'll get to that at the end. So he didn't factor in this. But you only got 2 running backs. Now you have your starter and you have your number 2. But like, you have to get depth. You've got to draft a running back. Now you could just go, this is a bad running back class. And it is. Daniel Jeremiah tweeted today. I want to give, what did he say? The running back pool is incredibly shallow. Teams with some depth at the position could have a trade market for their vets at the running back position. Daniel Jeremiah tweeted that out less than an hour ago. Niners had to do that last year, right? You didn't get what you wanted. You had some injuries. You had to trade for Brian Robinson. Didn't really work out. He was good. You just never gave him the ball. And then he walks for free. Just like, man, I would much rather have that 6th round pick this year than Brian Robinson last year. But hit my little whatever. I gave a 7 to the running back group. CMC is awesome. You got him signed for 2 more years, but tight end. I gave tight end a 5 asterisk grade. I don't know what to expect from George Kittle coming back. He's 30 plus years old, coming off an Achilles. Yeah, he's chugging beers at WWE. The workout videos are great. All those things. Achilles usually take a year plus. That injury took place at the end of the year. That's a problem. So I gave a 5 for the tight end. Now, if Kittle was healthy, I would have given him an 8. He's still long in the tooth. Farrell should be cut. I'm kind of upset he's on this roster. He pulls the roster down. What's the elf line? You take us down a whole notch in a good way. that's Luke Farrell. Like, I don't know what you do. He's a quality special teams player, but he is the worst player on the team when Kittle's not in there. When Kittle plays and he's just the number 2 guy, he's all right. He had some plays. Every single time Kittle was out, Luke Farrell was awful, awful, awful. Like, I do not want this guy suiting up. I don't want him taking snaps. Now, if you would tell me George Kittle was healthy and Kyle Shanahan would play Jake Tonchis and George Kittle together, I'd give the tight end room a 9. Kyle has never done those 2 things. Well, Kittle being healthy, that's different, but it's never happened. Tommy, thanks for the super chat. Luke Sterile, not Luke Farrell. That's rough. I don't want to go after somebody's manhood, but he's just terrible. That contract hasn't lived up to it. Maybe that changes this year, but every time Kittle's been out, Luke Farrell's been as bad as you could possibly be in the NFL. So I gave the tight end room a 5, but if you're a believer that, you know, George Kittle's going to just miss a little bit of time and he's going to come back and at worst be able to be the blocker that he is. I mean, this dude's signed through 2029. So you have Kittle 1, 2, 3, 4 more years. He signed through his 36-year-old season. So like, the people talking about drafting Kenyon Sadiq, 1, this team's never drafted a 6'3 tight end. They've never drafted a tight end before the end of the third round in their top 100 picks. Like, and you have George Kittle signed for four more seasons. Like, so either you're done with Kittle and you draft Kenyon Sadiq, or, and on top of that, you just signed Jake Tonjes to a 2-year extension, who is, he's not Kenyon Sadiq. They're nowhere near, but they play a similar spot, the move tight end position. Kenyon Sadiq is not an inline blocker. He has not been used that way. You could talk about one or two of his blocking clips, but if you watch the game tape, he is not consistently that. I just see that as a gross misrepresentation of draft capital and the way in which Kyle Shanahan operates the tight end position. If it was a Colston Loveland, a Tyler Warren, I get it. A guy that can block in line and get space and create and run the route tree, that's cool. Kenyon Sadiq is nowhere near those guys. Athletic profile, I get it, but that doesn't match what Shanahan uses. It's a little bit more of the McVay usage than it is the Shanahan usage. Kenyon Sadiq is awesome. I think we got a comment in here. Right here. Kenyon Sadiq is greater than a wide receiver. If he slips, that would be a balls on the table move. Shanahan's never used that ever at any point in his career anywhere. Not in Atlanta, not in Houston, not in Cleveland, not in Washington, not in San Francisco. Like, he's never used that. Not saying he couldn't, but he's never done it. Shanahan sticks to what he believes in. I like Kenyon Sadiq, and I think I have a second round grade on him. But he is my, where is he at? I think he's like my 20th player. Yeah, 20th player overall. We're picking 27th. I just see it as a gross misuse of draft capital because you already have the highest paid tight end in the NFL in George Kittle, and he's locked up for four more seasons. I don't, and he doesn't block in line, which you have to, or you don't play. So I push back against the Sadiq love, but if you guys love Sadiq, that's totally cool. Don't change your mind. Don't change your mind. I gave the tight end room a 5. Cut Luke Farrell, please. Ugh. Left tackle, I gave a 7. If Trent was locked up, it'd be an 8, but he's 38 years old, one of the oldest players in the NFL, still playing at a high level, had another all-pro season. I love Vidarian Lowe as a backup, actually. Like I'm very high on Vidarian Lowe. He signed for 2 seasons. He could compete for the left tackle spot next year if Trent does retire. I don't like it, but competing for a spot, him versus a rookie and all that, you could play that in there. And so, again, I go back to, you know, I was asked, what's my least favorite or worst case scenario? Drafting a left tackle that can't play guard and is just going to sit on the bench all year because you have Vidarian Lowe that could step up. You have Austin Pleasance who stepped up and played relatively well at the left tackle spot as well. Those aren't your long-term plans, but it's like, man, there are needs. And I do fully expect Trent to sign. He does this every single time. Drags it out. He's all about the money. Nothing wrong with that. But anyway, right here, Slapstick, what's up, man? He says, would you rather draft a tackle like Max Iheanacho, who can be our starter for years come, or drafting a wide receiver 3 who won't get a second contract from us? Well, I love Max Iheanacho a lot, and he could start at left guard and he could kick the left tackle. So like he could play both spots. I think a wide receiver would play for the 49ers. Again, you've got Mike Evans, you've got Christian Kirk, you've got, Pearsall, and we'll get to that. None of those three guys have stayed healthy at any point in their career. Well, Mike Evans has, but he's older now. So like you're going to play. And also on top of that, none of the wide receivers outside of Ricky Pearsall signed long-term. Mike Evans could be a 1 or 2 year deal. Kirk, 1 year deal. DeMarcus Robinson, last year of his deal. Like you're looking at a wide receiver room in 2 years of just Jacob Cowing, Jordan Watkins, and Ricky Pearsall. So, and you've seen what wide receivers get paid. Ridiculous amount. I mean, that is now a premium position, way over tackle. Wide receiver has lapped tackle. Tackle is not near as expensive anymore, like not even close compared to wide receiver. Wide receiver is just blown out of the water. So, like, I like both. Like, if you told me Denzel Boston or Max Iheanacho, I'm taking Denzel Boston personally because I value the X wide receiver position way more than any other spot. It's not even close. The NFL paid averages, but I would not be upset if you took Max Iannatour. I love that dude. He's freaking awesome. He was the player I fought most with, and I have him. I have Denzel Boston 16. He's my last first round grade. I have Max Iannatour as my number 17th overall, my first second round player. I've got him back to back. So one of them, Denzel Boston, plays a more premium position. He plays the X. He plays the X. And disagreements are great. But, man, the ceiling on Max is high as hell, man. I would not be upset with either of those. Wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be upset if they took Blake Miller. Ah, I don't know if Blake Miller could play guard. But, yeah, that's there. That's there. Ah, good question. Good comment. All right, left guard. Lowest grade that I got on offense, I gave a 2. The whole approach here is quantity over quality. Robert Jones got paid twice as much as Ben Bartsch. They are expecting him to start. Connor Colby got a lot of experience last year. Seventh round rookie, started week 1. He's got experience. I think he can compete there. And you brought in Brent Toth, who I think could play all 3 interior spots. He'll be the backup center. But you've got 3 guys fighting for a spot there. Now, the question is this. If you draft a left guard or if you draft a tackle that could play left guard, man, you're already at capacity, right? Somebody got to get thrown out the club. There just ain't room to keep 10 offensive linemen. There's just not. Fadarian Lowe's not getting cut. Brett Toth's not getting cut. Robert Jones not getting cut. Like, those are – you only keep 8. And so, like, does signing, you know, Brett Toth or cutting Connor Colby mean, okay, we're not going to get better at that position? Not necessarily, but it does mean, like, dude, if we draft this guy, we got to cut one of them. Maybe somebody gets hurt, but, like, how many times have you heard Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch say, we didn't think that they could beat out the guys we had on our roster already? Like, that's the conversation that you're getting into. Whether we agree or disagree, that's a different thing, but this is the way that the 49ers think. It just is. So whenever you've got to get help here, but like Robert Jones, Connor Colby, and Brett Toth is better than Ben Bartsch, Connor Colby, and Spencer Burford last year. You have improved the position. It's still a 2. It's still a 2. It's still a 2. Ugh. You've just got so many guys in that room. And this is what the 49ers do every year is they, before the draft, they sign to say, hey, we've got basically a 53-man roster as is. Let's see if we can make it better. Let's see if we can make it better. And if we can, great. And that's why they're a need-based draft team, because they'll look at this and they'll say, yeah, we don't have a need at left guard. We got 3 guys fighting for it. One of them work. We don't value the left guard spot anyway. You're playing next to Trent Williams. He'll take care of it. Center, I gave a 3. Don't want to beat a dead horse. Obviously, I am the most out person on number 64, Jake Brendel, that exists out there. He's good in pass protection. He is one of the main reasons why the Kyle Shanahan run game no longer works. I prefer Brett Toth, the backup in the run game. I mean, shoot, you just saw Dexter Lawrence get traded for the 10th overall pick. Go back and watch. We have the tape up on the 49ers rush. Jake Brendel gets hurt. They put in Matt Hennessy. Dexter Lawrence had 0 tackles and 0 pressures against Matt Hennessy. Just got traded for a top 10 pick. Completely shut that dude down. Blocked against him every single play of the whole entire game, except for a couple whatever he pulled the other way. Shut him down completely. Gets benched next week. Like, one of the best rushing performances the entire season. Like, I'm telling you, Jake Brindle's the issue, man. And he's a good player. I'm not saying he should be cut. But center is a 3 for me. Again, I know I talk about this all the time, but until you address that center position and take it seriously, the run game will continue to struggle. the beatings will continue until morale has improved. Yeah, got to block to the whistle. Got to try to move somebody. No functional strength at that position is just a killer. Right guard, I gave a 9. I am the biggest Dominique Pooney fan that exists. Shout out to Ant, 49ers cutback. He predicted this pick. And he's just been awesome. You can go back and pick a couple games where he was bad. He was injured in those last year and just continued to ascend. another one of those guys that played really, really well as the season kept going. I freaking love that dude. And whoever loses the left guard battle is going to back up the right guard spot, whether that's Connor Colby, Brett Toth, Robert Jones. Like, you've got your interior backups there. It's just what it is right here. Yeah, low offensive line scores is why Seattle killed us from gravy. Yeah, and John Lynch talked about this at the draft. He goes, yeah, but they did that to everybody, so we don't have to fix it. I thought that was stupid as hell comment. I love John Lynch. I think he's a good GM. I think Kyle Shanahan's the actual GM. But, yeah, it's weird not to try to improve the area where you just got completely decimated. Wide receiver and interior offensive lines where you got killed. No doubt about that. So, right guard, I gave a 9, one of the highest grade. You got Pooney locked up for a couple more years. He's great. Right tackle, I gave an 8. McKivitz continues to just be solid. He's locked up for 3 more seasons, but he's already 30 years old. Austin Pleasants proved his value last year. I think you're fine with that as a backup. Like, he's not even a swing guard or swing tackle. And the 49ers don't even really use a swing tackle. They have a backup right tackle and a backup left tackle. That's just what they do. I wish it wasn't that way, but Chris Forster has changed the way he sees backup offensive tackles, and it's hurt him, but whatever. That's a whole different conversation I want to get into. So right tackle, I gave an 8. Colton McKivitz is fine, and a lot of the tackles in this draft are right tackles, and people are like, well, you can move McKivitz to left tackle. Yeah, he played left tackle in college, but when you have something that works, you just stay. You really, really do. You just stay. You keep it. It works. Pooney at right guard works. McKivitz at right tackle works. Those are quality players. You could move them, but if it works, man, why change it? Like that. That's kind of the way I see it. Wide receiver. So the X wide receiver. So let's divide these up into actual positions. The X wide receiver is the number one wide receiver that lines up outside, plays against press man, has stretched the field vertically. This is, you know, Mike Evans. He's the guy. Jordan Watkins backup. DeMarcus Robbins, your utility. You can play everywhere. I gave a 7. I really like Mike Evans. I love Mike Evans. But he's old. The speed is still there, but you know, not what it once was. It's a decade in the league. And the injuries are a factor, and there's not really a backup. I'm sorry. Jordan Watkins did nothing outside of training camp. Nothing. Got no snaps. Did nothing. And again, you look at that Mike Evans deal, it's essentially a 1 or 2 year deal. And so that is my concern. You're hoping it's a 3 year deal, but man, you look at the guaranteed money and all that kind of stuff and the way it comes out, it's a 1 or 2 year deal. Plus, he's 33 years old. How many 35-year-old wide receivers are out there? Not a lot. Not a lot. So I gave the wide receiver a position, a 7, the X. The Z, I gave a 6. I love Pearsall. He's a perfect scheme fit, a perfect match for Shanahan and Purdy. Perfect. The health is the health. He's missed a full season in 2 seasons. He's awesome. Can he stay healthy? Can he show up when it matters? Dude played 40-plus snaps with 0 catches in a playoff game. Like, come on, man. Can't do that. Health is everything. DeMarcus Robinson, A-plus backup there. DeMarcus Robinson is a back, and that's where DeMarcus Robinson should be, right? He was our best wide receiver, him and Juwan Jennings, but anyway, that ship sailed. I do feel a little vindicated on my takes on Juwan Jennings over throughout the years. I love the dude. He's awesome. He played up and above his pay grade, but the fact that he is still not signed, I think I kind of held the pulse on that one a little bit as far as the NFL sees Juwan Jennings. I love Juwan. That dude screwed himself out of so much money. His agent, I think it's Drew Rosenhaus too, should be fired. That dude, gross neglect for thinking what Juwan Jennings wasn't. And so I know I got a lot of backlash on that. And I wish I was wrong, and I wish he was getting paid because I do like that dude. But, man, they completely overestimated their market. I cannot believe that dude isn't signed. That switch agencies, man. Dude, switch agencies. I feel so bad for him. Anyway, flex wide, the flex position. This is slot wide receiver, fullback, tight end number 2, 49ers use all those, you know, Kyle Juszczyk, Christian Kirk, Jake Tonjes, however you want to plug that in. I gave a 7. I think Kyle Juszczyk's coming off one of his best years with the 49ers. He was awesome last year, consistently. Used the way he should be. Snaps went down. That's the way it should be for an aging player. Should get 20 snaps a game. Christian Kirk, I like. Just if it was just Christian Kirk, I'd probably give him a 5 or a 6. But you get that veteran dependability, consistency, which I do like there. Jake Tonjes, I love if Shanahan would use him. Besides when George Kittle's hurt, that's the only time he plays. Luke Farrell should be cut. I'm going to throw that back out there again. But yeah, like I gave the flex a 7. So in review, here's the grades I gave the offense. Quarterback, I gave a 10. Running back, 7. Tight end, 5. Left tackle, 7. Left guard, 2. Center, 3. Right guard, 9. Right tackle, 8. Wide receiver, X, 7. Wide receiver, Z, 6. In the flex spot, a 7. Ooh, this is going to be a long episode. I like this. We're going to be here a minute, ladies and gentlemen. All right. It's time for the defense, which I'm super excited, right after this. Maybe if I click the right button. 49ers rush road trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announce of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which it's going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me. 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event. All right, let's get to the defense. Again, grading 1 through 10. Basically, just what the situation is now per position. And then we're going to look back and see, okay, where's the biggest upgrade possible? Starting defensive end, I gave a 9 with an asterisk. If Nick Bosa was healthy, it'd be a 10. I think that he is one of the top 6 defensive ends, all-purpose. The thing about Nick Bosa is he's probably one of the best dual threats. He's as good, maybe even better in the run game than he is the pass rush, defensive player of the year. So consistent whenever he is out there. Him coming off the injury is the only reason why I didn't give a 10. And having Sam O as a backup is that's where Sam O should be. Right? Like, he should be a backup defensive end. He had to fill in as starter and was awesome. Like, did he played above his pay grade, very similar to JJ, but you're getting this guy at what would he get, like $3-4 million, like at one of the premium positions in the NFL. I really like Sam O as a backup, and he could step up if he needs to. Again, I approach almost everything from coaching perspective. Consistency is big for me. I don't like boom bust players. I don't like the negatives. And I saw somebody put in the chat about Juwan Jennings. Dude was second in the NFL in interceptions when targeted. He was up there with drops. He was up there with fumbles. He was up there with lowest blocking percentage. I know he had some like decleaters, but like consistency is a big deal for me. So a lot of times people disagree with my assessment on players. I care about negative plays a lot. And whenever somebody is responsible for a lot of negatives, that's why I didn't like Jordan Elliott, right? And that's why I struggle with Jair Brown. That's why I struggle with Jake Brendel. That's why I struggle with, like, that's my bias that I bring to the table. Consistency is paramount for me. And right here, Logan, is it Chris Brazel a boom or bust player? I would say this. Not whenever it comes to like drops and stuff, it's not, but like it's hard to grade from that system. And yeah, he is a high risk, high reward player. There's no doubt about that. So yes, from that sense, but man, his hands and routes are consistently great. That system, same system as Jordan Watkins, where it's a middle school offense where you're just running three routes. That's a problem. But for a 6'3 guy that can run 4'3 and can sink his hips at the break of his routes, rare. He's immature. That's why he's not a rush crush guy. I fell in love with the film as we dove more in and you found out about, you know, the crazy traffic ticket, speeding, not paying it, not showing up to court, continue to drive, like driving without a license. And, you know, one of the quotes from a draft scout, I think on the Beast was, yeah, he's immature. Like, yeah, he is that. And so like I saw first round grade, you dive into it. All right. Second round grade. If he's there at 58, I would take him. I think it's worth the risk. But, yes, he is a boomer bust player, and I always appreciate the pushback. Yeah, challenge me on these. I love this. Yeah, he is raw. There ain't no doubt about that. Tennessee wide receivers are always just a mess. But so are Ole Miss. So are Mississippi State. So are Baylor. So are Washington State. Like, you can go through the list. I mean, the air raid and that Bryles whatever's. It's easy to coach, and it's easy to get high school kids to come in because you can play as a freshman. And that's why it's even more difficult to go from college to 49ers. But, man, you let Chris Brazel learn behind Mike Evans. He'll still get reps, but, oh, yeah, I would – first round, no way. Second round, yeah, I'd be cool with it. That's ceiling. The ceiling is crazy, man. Anyway, that's what it is. All right. Let's see, defensive end, the other defensive end spot, I gave a 7 with another asterisk. Mikael Williams coming off an ACL. Like, good Lord, this whole team. Keon White is an amazing backup. Good gosh. Like, real quick, just taking a look at last year's roster heading into season 2025 and this year's, or heading into the draft season. So much quality veteran backups at positions. I have so much more faith in this roster than last year's team because you just have so much more veteran depth. Sam O and Keon White as your backups is awesome. Those two guys were starting and you made the playoffs and won a playoff road game last year. Now they are backups. But here's the problem with defensive end. You do not have a speed rusher. So I gave a 9 and a 7, but like you don't have a speed guy. It's non-existent on the roster. You have 4 Buck-style defensive ends. You have no bend. Nobody anywhere on this list has any bend, dip and bend, whatever. Probably Nick Bosa has the best, but that's not how he wins. He's a technician, man. Like, that is a major vacancy. The speed edge rusher, and they got paid this offseason, man. They got paid. Defensive tackle. I gave an 8. To my first defensive tag, this is the 3-tech. Oso Odighizuwa, you trade for, is as consistent as he gets. Is he a Pro Bowler, All Pro? No. That's why I gave him an 8. But consistent, no injuries. I think he's, you know, a B-plus, A defender against the run. He's A-plus against the pass. From a defensive tag, second most quarterback hits, all that stuff. I love Osa. Now, somebody's got to step up behind him. Is it Sebastian Valdez? Is it Evan Anderson? Or do you draft somebody? There's a lot of decent defensive tackles in this draft. No top tier level guys. I don't have first round grade on one DT. Not one. Now, the, you know, plugger or whatever you want to call it, the 1-tech, I gave a 7. Alfred Collins and CJ West. The 49ers just a couple minutes ago tweeted out, you know, a Alfred Collins hype video. Led the team in fumble recoveries, forced fumbles, the problem is he's not consistent. The upside is there. He did not win early. That's what he has to work on, winning early. He's a guy that loses early, wins late with incredible effort, strength, and whatever. He's got to fix that. I'm the biggest Alfred Collins guy. He was my rush crush. I predicted we'd pick him before the draft. I was so happy the Niners got him, and he was good and flashed, not consistent yet. He's got to get there. He's got to get there. CJ West, man, ascending player, injury derailed it, then ascended again. Can he stay healthy? You've got three guys you're confident in. Osa, Alfred Collins, CJ West. Can Sebastian Valdez step up? Can Evan Anderson step up? You've got to add one more in this room. You don't have the room set yet. You got to add somebody. So I gave it 8 and a 7 at the defensive tackle spot. And I love that Osa trade. You know, this defensive tackle draft is rough. You went and got, and again, you see it with Dexter Lawrence too. He pulled a top 10 pick. It's a bad defensive. If you want a defensive tackle in the first round, you ain't getting them. Like, it's just not there. It's just not there. You know, you look at, there's that kind of clump of, you know, in any way you want to put these guys, Christian Miller, Caleb Banks, Peter Woods, Caden McDonald, Lee Hunter. But, like, those are second-round guys. A couple will get drafted in the first round because defensive tackle, a lot of teams need them. But major questions on all of them. And so once you get to pick 25, that's where those guys go. I doubt the 49ers take it. I know they go defensive tackle all the time. But there is not that pass-rushing guy that's really there. Lee Hunter might be, it's just not really there. Peter Woods and Caleb Banks, major injuries. Yeah, it's rough. Linebacker, I gave a 10. The starting Mike backer, I gave a 10. Fred Warner, I understand he's coming off an injury, was already practicing in the playoffs. So that means he was practicing fully. And if they had one more win, he was going to play in the NFC Championship game, right? Well, shoot, that was the end of January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Like, this dude's got 7 months of full all-out practice after rehab. So I put Fred Warner's injury way different than Kittle, way different than Bosa, way different than Mikhail, way different. I have no qualms on Fred Warner's durability. None. I'm so pumped to see Fred back there, man. Tatum Bethune is a backup, Mike, after all that experience. Great. That's great. That's great. The Will linebacker, I gave it 8. Dre Greenlaw. Woo! 1 year, though. D winners. He's on his last year, too. You got Garrett. You brought Garrett back. You know, stud special teamer. Whatever. But, like, gosh, Dre Greenlaw's back at the Will spot. I'm so pumped. Obviously, the injury concerns, it's a one-year deal. I get it. But D Winner's back in the backup role where he belongs. That is huge. So I gave Mike 10, Will 8. The flex linebacker spot, I gave a 7. I kind of want to go higher. That's Nickel. That's Sam. That's Big Nickel, right? Upton Stout, if he was just out there all the time, I'd give this an 8 or a 9. I love Upton Stout. 17 snaps in that playoff loss. Are you kidding me? Oh, gross negligence. Gross. Nate Hobbs, he could fill in as the Big Nickel. D Winners as Sam. Nick Martin, maybe he shows up. Bethune. Like, you have crazy depth at that line. You have too many guys. And look at this. Logan. Chapman, do you think we will trade D Winners or another linebacker for draft capital? I wish they would. You ain't keeping 6 linebackers. Maybe you will. I mean, Fred Warner. Here, let me pull up the depth chart because we even got guys in the back end. So, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, D Winners, Tatum Bethune, Garrett Wallow, Nick Martin, Luke Gifford, Jalen Graham, and Milo Eifler. Eifler? 9. Like, you're not keeping 7. Luke Gifford's making this roster. He's a Pro Bowl special teamer. Somebody got to go. You just signed Garrett Wallow to a 2-year deal. I think a 2-year deal, was it? Let me look at the – how many Garrett Wallows are there? That's such a badass name. Not pulling up. There it is. I spelled Garrett wrong. Yeah, 1-year deal for Garrett Wallow, and it's 1.2. 330 guaranteed. So he got some money. I mean, you could cut that. That's, you know, might make the top 53 or 51 for cap reasons. But like, yeah, there's not room. And this is a good linebacker class. I don't know how you're going to trade one of these guys. Why would you take D Winners for a six rounder as opposed to, shoot, let me just open up my draft board here. You know, going to get somebody like a Keyshawn Elliott or Harold Perkins or a Lander Burton, Red Murdoch, like Torin York. Like, I don't know. Like, why would a team want that? He's got experience, I guess. I don't see much of a market for D Winners or Tatum Bethune. I just don't see it. Nick Martin, maybe. Maybe you get a fifth rounder for Nick Martin to Robert Saleh. Maybe. I'd do it. I like Nick Martin. We had him on the show. He was great. He wasn't ready. Nobody wants D Winners, man. Yeah, it's a bad take. Again, guys I like. I like consistency. He is as far from consistent as you can get. He's young. He can develop. But at no point did his eyes ever get clean. Never. He'll watch a thing happen and his feet are stuck. And you're seeing that in the playoffs. Like, it's just like, dude, the same issue the first week you played all the way through the playoffs. Never got better. Never got better. Corners. I gave 8 to Demo. I mean, he's a stud. Was very good last year. Consistent. Does his job. Had a lot of negatives towards the end of the year. I kind of don't want him to be a captain. I didn't feel like he lived up to that. I'd rather them give that to Dre Greenlaw. You got Nate Hobbs, Jacob Robinson backing up. That's okay. So I gave it 8 to the Demo side. I like Demo. I don't think he's an all-pro. I don't think he's a pro bowler. I don't think he's captain. I just think he's a good dude. Like, I think he's just a good corner. And I love his deal. I think it is, like, the most appropriate contract. He's playing to his level. Like, awesome. Really, really, really good. The other cornerback, I gave a 6. Kind of want to bump it down to a 5, if I'm going to be honest. I'm changing it. I'm going to do it live on air. Don't tell my mom. I'm giving the other cornerback a spot of 5. Will Renardo Green finally start to play smart? Will he stop biting on double moves? Will he just play his freaking coverage? Now, this is where the new defensive back coach steps in. Jerry Gray, baby. Hook him. I got the Longhorn shirt on. Let's go. One of the best coaches in the business at DBs. He did it in college. He did it in the NFL. He's coached it. Last time we had a quality defensive back coach was Steve Wilks, and everybody played well in the back end. I don't think Jerry Gray is as good as Steve Wilks, but from a DV perspective, can you get some solid back end contribution? That'd be huge. Can Darrell Luter Jr., who was the worst player in training camp and preseason of the whole roster, but he played better than Renardo Green did in the times he got playtime. Can he continue to ascend? Can he stay healthy? Remember, Darrell Luter Jr. missed all of his first season training camp, all of his second season training camp, third missed a little bit. This is his fourth one. Last go at it. Can he finally stay healthy and just build positively? You know what I mean? Just build positively. That's what I want to see. So I gave the cornerback room a 5. And again, throw in Nate Hobbs, Jacob Robinson, Ciaran Neal, Eli Apple. Those are the competing for those spots, but none are real answers. Safety, we grade strong safety, free safety, right? But they're interchangeable. There's one safety spot, which I gave Malik Mustafa a 7. He's a player in this league. Can he delete the negatives, the major missed tackles, the coverage busts, bad angles? But he's a player. You've seen enough. Like, he's a guy. You know that. He's a 7. Just get rid of the negatives, right? Like, that's huge. The other safety spot I gave a 4. Marquise Eagle, Jair Brown, haven't gotten it done. Can Jerry Gray make his presence felt here? Marquise Eagle's got the athletic profile, perfect run game fitter. He's always where he needs to be, just doesn't make plays. Jair Brown, I'm not a 27 guy, but his best season was under Steve Wilks, his rookie year. Now you have Jerry Gray. Can he go back to that? I wish you would have stayed with Siegel last year. Let the rookie grow up. Gosh, just let the rookie grow up, man. Hamstringing these dudes. Hamstringing them. Yeah. Anyway, so I gave it 4 there. So, again, reviewing the defensive grades, defensive end 9, defensive tackle 8, defensive tackle 7, defensive tackle 7, tight end, or sorry, linebacker 10, linebacker 8, flex 7, cornerback 1, 8, cornerback 2, 5, safety 1, 7, safety 2, 4. That's a rough one. Now, the whole idea was, again, shout out to Doug and the Otsik. Let's grade them. What is the biggest jump that the 49ers can address going from a 2 to a 7, going from a 3 to a 8, so on and so forth, if you spend the draft capital in that certain way? So let's look at that. I do have to do this. I wanted to do this. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting some new studs. They're not paying me for this. but I got this badass. Look at this dude. This tap, the top of the tap from Father's Brewery. I have a new favorite beer. And so I wanted to say shout out to Connor, Joe, and Jeremiah, some dudes I got to hang out with to just talk about their brewery process. All I freaking loved it. So if you're in the Bay Area and you're looking for a new lager, if you're a beer drinker, I love lagers. I always drink Modelo and all that kind of stuff, but whatever. Like Father's Brewery, they have this new light lager, organic, clean. It is freaking awesome. It's my new favorite beer. So I just want to give them a shout out. They gave me this badass tap, so I had to show it because I'm flexing a little bit. But yeah, go check it out. If you're in the Bay Area, they're going to be expanded eventually. But if you go to a restaurant or you're out looking for beer, Father's Brewery, their light lager is fire, man. Anyway, take that for what you will. So the lowest grades on the whole team from a starting perspective, left guard got a 2, center got a 3, safety got a 4. How do you get the biggest increase? Left guard's probably the spot. Now, again, somebody asked me early on, what's the worst case scenario for this draft? If the 49ers drafted a left tackle or right tackle that couldn't play guard, that's my least favorite thing that could happen in this draft. But, and I don't even like Kaden Proctor. I think he's only a guard in the Shanahan scheme. Might be able to play right tackle. But, man, if Kaden Proctor fell, I don't think he will. I think he'll go to Detroit. But if Kaden Proctor fell to 27 and you draft him, plugged him in at left guard, which might be his best spot, he might just stay there. Could kick out if you need him to. Like, that would be a 2 to a 7. Yeah, Max Iannatore, who I think is a true left guard, can play right. I think he could play anything. I love that kid. But he would be like a 2 to a 6, right? And, like, you could even look at the guard spot, and you can talk Chase Bisantis, Manuel Pregnon, Caitlin Rutledge, whatever you want. Like, that's like a 2 to a 5. Those guys are good. I like them, but I don't hold them anywhere in regards to Max or Kaden Proctor as far as what they would do at the guard position. I freaking love Max Iannatore. I really do. Now, the center, not a good center in draft class. At the top end, right? There is no Zach Frazier, who I loved, and you should trade back and drafted. I think he's the second best center in the league. Creed Humphrey's the best center in the league, who I loved, who you could have traded back and still drafted. Instead, you took Aaron Banks, but that's okay. I digress. I'm pretty good at scouting centers. I love 2 centers. The Niners had a chance to get them both, and they did not. Deep breaths. Woosah, woosah, woosah. There still are some great centers in this draft. They're just kind of third, fourth round guys. I don't know if any are going to be there in the fourth round when you pick. Logan Jones would be my number 1. Jake Slaughter, Sam Hecht, Trezun the 3rd. That's probably the most realistic option. But then you look at, like, okay, Kyle Shanahan's not playing a rookie center over Jake Brendel. So that's not happening. My ranking would be like a 3 to a 4 or 5 with those guys, right? Like, I would prefer starting them because I just want the run game to exist in the middle of the field. I really, really would. But Shanahan ain't going to play them. So that's a long-term play, right? And then the question becomes, man, you already have so many offensive linemen. You only keep 8. Who are you going to cut? So let's say you draft Jake Slaughter, Logan Jones, Sam Heck, Trezun the 3rd. Who are you cutting? Are you going to cut Fedarian Lode? No. Are you going to cut Connor Colby? I don't want him to. Brett Toth? No. Robert Jones? No. Like, it's a numbers game. You can't cut those guys. You spent a fourth round pick. They better make this effing roster. And so then then you get into that discussion. Well, we didn't think they could beat out the guys we already have. And that's why I just keep pushing back on this idea of drafting at this position. It's just rough. Now, if you draft Max Iannatorre, Caden Proctor, one of these, you know, tackle guard combos, yeah, sure. Now you can afford to move on from Austin Pleasance. You know, but I'm not sure you could do that with the Trey Zune. It's hard right here. Fourth round picks are starters. No, they're not starters. No, first round picks, second round picks are starters. Third round picks, you're hoping can compete for a spot. Fourth round picks are not starters. It happens sometimes, but not very often. First, second round picks, those are your starters. Third round picks, compete for starters. Fourth later, developmental guys that you hope you get something out of. Fourth round picks, not. But, like, I don't value Jake Brendel as a starter, right? Like, I just do not. I don't value Robert Jones as a starter. So that's why that's my approach there. Now, the safety spot is different. This is a damn good safety class. Damn good safety class. I gave a 4 for the second safety spot. That's, you know, Jair Brown and Marquis Siegel, however you see that. I have Siegel way higher. There's this guy by the name of Dylan Thienemann, who is an absolute perfect 10 out of 10 perfect fit for the 49ers. And going to go about where the 49ers are going to be picking. I think he's off the board. I have Dylan Thienemann as the 19th overall player. Again, another one of those guys I struggle with the first round grade, but I don't value safety in a similar fashion to the NFL not valuing safety. Now, Emmanuel McNeil Warren, I like him too, but he's my 29th player. Still worth it. I value Emmanuel McNeil Warren as a Mustafa role. That's the role I want him to play. Now, I know he played deep, and I know he played in the back half cover too. He can play deep, and he can range. That's just not where I value. Dylan Thienemann, I do. Like, that would be huge. If you drafted Dylan Thienemann, you're going from a 4 to an 8, automatic, plug and play. Gosh, he's so good. The Niners just don't care about safety. They just don't. Gosh, he's so good. And yeah, Ben, what's up? Shout out to Ben. I think the enemy goes to the Vikings as well. I do too. I'm going to bet that pretty big, actually. I just freaking love Dylan. I really, really do. I just don't see the 49ers doing that. And Emmanuel McNeil Warren, I know a lot of people have him higher than the enemy. I do not. But like, I want him. I would hate to draft him and then put him at the back end. And I know we rotate our safeties, but that's just not where he belongs. It's really, really not. So the answer is, where's the biggest jump? It's drafting Caden Proctor, Max Iannatorre, one of those left tackle guys that could kick inside. I'm not sure Blake Miller can do it. I'm not sure Caleb Lomu could do it. Fano, he'll be gone. I don't think Monroe Freeland can do it, and he's a top 10 player for me. Malioga could. He could do anything. But then you got the back. Like, that's this draft. So from a needs-based draft approach, if that's what you're going to do, draft a left tackle that can kick it to guard. And that's the betting favorite right now. I'm going to stick with my approach. Wide receiver at edge is probably what it's going to be. Now, talk about it here. AJ Hossie. I freaking love this dude. He's a rush crush. I love him. But I don't see him. I have a second round grade on him, and I have him in that same tier as Dylan Thienemann, Emmanuel McNeil Warren. I couldn't spend a first round pick on him, and he's a rush crush guy. Where's he going? Where's he going consensus right now? Let me pull this up, the safety spot. He's the fourth safety. He's going 59th overall. 49ers pick 58. Like, that is where you take AJ Hall. I can't take him 27. I just can't. I can take him 58. I could do that. If he's there, yes. I'm totally on board with that. That'd be badass. It's too rich for my blood to take a safety in the first round. Even if Dylan Thienemann was there, who I have considerably higher. Where is Halsey on my big board? Let's see here. Sorry, guys. I know this is probably in the best whatever. Because I freaking love him, but where do I have him? Yeah, he's the 58th player on my board. Like, he's my last second round grade. Mm. It's fun stuff, man. We're close. We already have up the live first round video feed where we'll be live. Make sure you go check it out. Type in 49ers Rush on YouTube. Hit notify me when live. We'll be going live 4:45 p.m. Pacific time, day one. We'll be going live 15 minutes before the draft starts, day two and day three. We will be live as long as the 49ers have picks. We'll see what happens with the trades back in the fourth round, whatever else. When the Niners are out of picks, that will conclude our show. But we will be live days one, day two, and day three of the draft from our mothership right here. And hope you guys join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. This was a good show. I want to say thank you for spending your time with us. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.